I think we're on 44.5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, let's review what's in 44. Okay, that the Supreme Lord's body is eternal and all-pervading is also stated by Sridhar Swami in the verse that he wrote at the beginning of the commentary of the sixth chapter of the eighth canto. Nityatva vibhutve, he used the word specifically. And then there are two verses spoken about Gajendra. I'll read the English. I'm sorry, these must be prayers offered by Gajendra. Your birth, duration of life, and demise are not effects of material creation. You are always free from the material qualities, and you are the shelter of transcendental bliss resembling an ocean. You are the supreme subtle of the most extremely subtle, yet your transcendental form is immeasurably large. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the supreme, whose existence is inconceivable. You're the most subtle of the subtle, but your transcendental body is immeasurably large. There was a phrase in those verses, Nirvana Sukarnavaya, who was an ocean of the bliss of Nirvana. By that metaphor of an ocean, it is indicated that the pleasure found within the personal realization, the personal manifestation with form of the Supreme, is much greater than the mere bliss of liberation. And Dhruva Maharaj said something to that effect, that the pleasure that your devotees obtain by meditating on your lotus feet represents the bodily form, or even just about hearing about you and your devotees, nothing like that can be obtained in impersonal realization. What to speak of materialistic life? And then, Gajendra says that the Lord is not a demigod, or a demon, or a mortal, or an animal, human being or animal, not male or female, or neuter, not a quality of material nature, not an activity of material nature. He's the ultimate limit of all negation of everything material. And having offered those prayers, Gajendra waited for response. But the demigods headed by Brahma, even though Gajendra did not name the Lord he was worshipping, he didn't remember who it was, the demigods did not respond because they didn't fit the description. And that left Lord Vishnu to respond. Okay, more about that in the last prayer of Gajendra. I think we haven't done 44.5 yet. Kim bahuna yaratra sat stulam asat sukshmam tad ekam api nabhavati swaprakasha rupatvad iti bhavaha. What need is there to say much more? Whatever in this world is substantial, stulam, gross matter. Rather, I use the word sut. I translate that as substantial. Or asat, insubstantial, meaning subtle cause. He is none of that. Because it is implied, he is the cause of his own manifestation. He's not in either category of a material cause and effect, because he's his own cause. And the commentary of Sridhar Swami further explains this. Kintu sarvasya nishede avaditvena shishyate iti nisheda sheshaha mayaya tad ashesh atmakas cha. But when everything is negated, he remains as the limit of all. As the phrase, the remainder after negation, nisheda shesha. After nisheda, the shesha, what remains. Negate everything, what are you left with? And by maya, he comprises everything else that exists. Tad ashesh atmakash. Jayatat madvimokshanaya avir bhavatu iti tika cha. May he be victorious. May he manifest for the sake of my liberation. Jayatat is what form? Vidatri? It's not Kamapala? Okay, tat is a substitute ending. Okay. Evam upavarnitam nirvishesham. He's described as nirvishesha, as Gajendra said. Devadi rupam vina param tatvam yena tam Gajendram. Okay, Gajendra described him as nirvishesha. The Lord approached that Gajendra. He appeared before that Gajendra who described the reality without distinction, nirvishesha. What does that mean? Nirvishesha Brahma. That means the supreme truth without any form as a demigod or any other created being. I'm going to add the word created. He is a being, but he's an uncreated being. So any other created being. He is nirvishesha because he has no created form. Vivida linga bida bimanaha, vivida cha sao linga bida, devadi rupa bedas cha, tasyam abhimano yesham. This is an analysis of the Bahuvrihi compound. Linga bida bimanaha. Abhimana is masculine singular, but the form here is plural because it's yesham. Who have that abhimana? Brahma and the others have a sense of identification, abhimana, with various kinds of external forms. That means to say, they falsely identify themselves with the different external forms of demigods and so on. Ata eva te brahmadayo yada nopa jagmus tatra tada nikilatma katvat Nikilanam tesham paramatma sukarupatvat tadvilakshano mayaya ashesh atmakatvat akilamiramaro harir avirasid iti. Thus, when they did not come, the demigods did not come forward, Lord Hari appeared there. He who comprises all the demigods. He is different from the demigods because he embodies happiness for them as the supersoul. Not only his own happiness, but their happiness comes from him, the demigods' happiness. And he comprises all of the demigods because by his maya,
He is the self of everything. So the demigods couldn't properly respond. They weren't even sure who was being addressed. But Lord Hari was able to take care of everything, reconcile the situation by appearing himself. You may not know who you're worshiping. You may think you're worshiping any of a number of demigods. But if the Supreme Lord responds to your prayer, then everything is successful. Commentary. Lord Vishnu is the first cause of creation. No one created him. And so he is described as Swaprakasha, self-revealing. He exhibits himself to himself and to others. And he empowers the other living beings to see and also to be seen. He's seen, he shows himself, he arranges that they can see and that they can be seen. So they're seeing and being seen on all sides by his influence. The subtle elements, beginning with the Mahatattva, are only intermediate causes of material evolution. And even the most subtle, unmanifest form of matter, the pradhan, is not an independent cause. Pradhan, she is said to supply the ingredients of creation, but in fact, he is also the first ingredient cause. Sridhar Swami explains Nisheda Shesha, the remnant after negation, as indicating that after the Supreme Lord is determined to be not anything else, he is what remains. Or, as also suggested by the commentator, by his maya, the Supreme is everything, without exception, a Shesha. He expands and acts by his energies. Okay. Even though there is no question of Lord Vishnu not being victorious, Gajendra wanted him to show his prowess in a special way by saving him. So he's actually asking a favor when he says Jayatad. Of course, he's going to be victorious, but Gajendra wants a particular favor. He wants to be released from the crocodile. Instead of addressing the Lord by name in his prayers, and because he didn't remember what the name was, he used several epithets. Bhagavan, the opulent Lord, Purusha, the creative enjoyer, Paresha, the supreme controller, Swayambhu, the self-born, Sakshi, the impartial witness, Atmamula, the self-founded, Vibhu, the all-expansive and all-powerful, Brahma, the supreme reality, Ananta Shakti, the possessor of unlimited potencies, Paramatma, the supreme soul, and so on. These are all terms that Gajendra used in his prayers. These are all Vedantic terms. They're all generic terms describing the absolute truth. If they're considered names of God, they are Gauna or secondary names because they describe him as the Paramatma, not in his personality so much. Bhagawan is there, the name, Purusha. But these are more or less indirect glorification of the Lord, not glorifying his pleasure pastimes. So, one may be a learned Vedantist, but one does not get the benefit of Nam Sankirtana just by chanting these secondary names. Not the full benefit. One has to find out what the real name of the Lord is, at least one of those names, and chant it with love, not just with edification. You can't love the impersonal. Those terms are all found in verses 10, 2 through 10. Those terms come up in Gajendra's prayers.
Verses 2 through 10, all those terms are picked out of those verses. Limited by their abhimanas, or presumed identities, the demigods have no power to grant the favor of liberation as the Supreme Lord can. But they were thoughtful enough to recognize that Gajendra had singled out the Supreme. And they didn't, none of the demigods claimed to be that Supreme. On their behalf, Lord Hari appeared to Gajendra. The demigods are all his expansions, their personalities and powers only reflections of his. And one more paragraph of this Anuchet. Evam avir bhavam prajamani shri gajendre yad rupen avibhutam tatkalu tadrisham evam bhavitum arhatiti sadhuktam. Being requested thus by Sri Gajendra to make his appearance, it stands to reason that the form he appeared in corresponded to the request. Thus it was correctly said that stula sukshma vastvati riktas tava shri vigraha iti. Your divine form is beyond all things gross and subtle. Anyata tvapani pada rupatvenaiva tachetasya vibhuya tadvidadyat. Otherwise, in the case of his form being without arms and legs, it should have been stated that he only appeared in Gajendra's heart and from there arranged to free him. So if the Absolute Truth actually was without arms and legs, formless, then all he could, Gajendra might have some inner realization. And from inside, the formless Supreme might have helped him. But here we got, we have Lord Vishnu is going to come down on Gajendra, on Garuda, with eight arms, I think, and deliver Gajendra in person. Therefore, what Gajendra is meditating on is not actually the impersonal Supreme. This is as stated, taduktam svecha mayasya iti. This is as stated, your form appears according to the desires of your devotees. Where does that come from? Svecha mayasya. Yeah, that's Brahma's Prayers, chapter 14 of the 10th canto. Svecha mayasya could be translated as by your own desire. But our commentators choose to explain it as by the desire of your own devotees. Svecha mayasya. You appear. Shloka dvayam idam shlokantara vyavahitam apyartain avyavahitatvad yugalatayopabadadre. Although these two verses that we quoted, that are the two verses, coming back to the beginning of that Anuchet. Gajendra spoke, back here. Oh, yeah, ajata janma stiti samyamaya, that? What's the beginning of it? 44.8. He's not a demigod or a demon, and then thus describing the formless Supreme, demigods didn't come, Vishnu came. Those two verses that are quoted in 44.4, they're not exactly one verse after another. There's, two verses in between them. More. Six verses in between them. 24 and 30, so there's several verses in between. But although these two verses are separated by other verses, they have been cited as a pair. Here we quote them together. Because they are not separated in meaning. Pratamam padyam gajendra shri harim. Dvitiyam shri shukaha. Well, in the beginning of the Anuchet, we had two verses. One spoken by Gajendra. No. No, it's not the beginning of the Anuchet. It's this in 44.4. The first of those two verses was spoken by Gajendra to Srihari, the last of his prayers, and the second was spoken by Sri Shukadeva, describing how after the prayers, the demigods didn't respond, but Lord Hari responded. Okay, 1 second, please. Commentary. Gajendra expressed a particular attitude of devotion, to which the personality of Godhead responded accordingly, as he always does. He appeared to Gajendra in his transcendental form, but not in any particular role for pastimes, other than the pastime of rescuing Gajendra. It's as if it was an unscheduled pastime incarnation. Not that it really was, but he doesn't have any other purpose but to respond to Gajendra's prayer. He doesn't have any pastime of his own other than that to perform. This appearance of Vishnu is recorded as occurring in the reign of Tamasa Manu. He's the third Manu? Tatrapi jagge bhagavan harinyam harimedasaha harirityarito yena gajendro mochito grahat. That is from the first chapter of the eighth canto. Also in this manvantara, the Supreme Lord Vishnu took birth from the womb of Harini, the wife of Harimeda, and he was known as Hari. Hari saved his devotee Gajendra, the king of the elephants, from the mouth of a crocodile. So that makes this appearance as the Manvantara avatar, for the third Manvantara. Manvantara avatars don't come for their own pleasure so much, but to help the demigods, to protect the demigods and devotees. So here, fitting that pattern, the Lord appears in the third Manvantara to save Gajendra, his devotee. It's the fourth, okay, fourth Manvantara. The Bhagavatam mentions no other activity of this avatar other than appearing before Gajendra to deliver him. So that means he delivered him, that only took a few minutes, and that's it. He probably went away after that. He only appeared for a short time. Otherwise, he would have done something. If he stayed around for years, he would have done a lot of pastimes, but there's no record of any. I think this also said that he disappeared after Gajendra offered his prayers. Does it? He took him back to Vaikuntha? Okay, so he went back to Vaikuntha, taking Gajendra with him. And that's the end of the avatar. How does what? He was riding on Garuda, wasn't he? By public transport.
There will be one major difference, that he was not wearing his footwear. Hari was not wearing his paduka. He wasn't
wearing his shoes.
Yeah, he was barefoot.
Because he was in a rush?
Yeah.
Okay, so this was an unscheduled appearance. He didn't have time to put his shoes on.
They said that one of his servants in Padyavali, there is a verse also which says that one of his servants was made his mani paduka ready for him to wear, but he didn't have time to look at it, and he was like in a rush.
Oh, okay, rush job. Okay, question: if the Supreme Lord's body were not purely spiritual, and the Upanishadic dictum that he has no hands and feet were to be taken literally, then why didn't Gajendra simply perceive the unembodied Supreme in his mind? No, Gajendra may have only been an elephant, but he was smarter than the impersonalists. While they would conjure up the Supreme as formless, he correctly identified the truth beyond subtle and gross duality as Sri Vigraha, the exquisite form of the Lord of all opulence. I made up a word, exquisitive. I better change that. Exquisite, okay. I guess that's exquisite and inquisitive together is exquisitive. The exquisite form of the Lord of all opulence. The Lord reciprocated with him in kind. Let's identify him as Gajendra. Okay. Brahma, after experiencing his own reciprocation with the Supreme Lord, that's in the Brahma Vimohana Lila, he prayed, Asyapi deva vapusho madanugrahasya swecha mayasya natubhuta mayasya kopi neshe mahitva vasitum manasantarena sakshatavaiva kimutatma sukhanubhutehe. My dear Lord, neither I nor anyone else can estimate the potency of this transcendental body of yours, which has shown such mercy to me, and which appears just to fulfill the desires of your pure devotees. Although my mind is completely withdrawn from material affairs, I cannot understand your personal form. How then could I possibly understand the happiness you experience within yourself? Okay. He appears just to fulfill the desires of his pure devotees. Swechamayasya. Some may take Swechamaya to mean based on his own desire. But Sridhar Swami comments, Swechamayasya Swyanam Bhaktanam. Yata yatecha tata tata bhavata. You are Swechamaya, appearing however your devotees, Swiya, want you to appear. The first verse discussed in this Anuchet, Bhagavatam 8.329, is the final prayer by Gajendra. And in the following verse, Shukadev picks up the thread of the narration, introducing Lord Vishnu's appearance. Text 45. Yes.
You said he had no other activity as recorded, but he took birth from the womb of Arini, the wife of Arimeda.
Okay, he was born. Okay. But after that, nothing else.
Okay.
Took birth, but then he did one thing and went back to Vaikuntha.
Okay.
Text 45. Ata pratyagrupatvam apyaha. Okay, now another quality. We're moving on to a different. We're not going to spend forever talking about one thing. Now we move on to another topic. How the form was still about the Sri Vigraha, the personal form of the Lord, but how it is pratyagrupa. Now let's see what pratyagrupa means. Then we'll have to look at the translation. Ata pratyagrupa tvam aha. Pratyag means inner. Pratyanj is outward. Pratyag is inward. It's described in the Upanishads that Brahma created all the living beings with outward senses. He put the senses on the outside. Your eyes, your ears, your nose are stuck on the outside of your face, not on the inside. Because we're conditioned souls, we were looking outside for our satisfaction. So Brahma obligingly put our senses on the outside. But spiritual consciousness is directed inward, the other direction, inside. So the two terms are pratyak, pratyansh, and pratyanj and pratyak. Wait, they're the same word. Parak, paranj is outward. Pratyanj is inward. So the Lord's form is pratyak rupam. Although you can see his form on the outside, it has outside features, but it actually is inside the form of the Lord. It's revealed, first of all, let's see what Jiva Goswami says about this, what he means by pratyak rupa. Yes.
This is the fourth quality of the body being explained.
What's the first three? I have vibhu, nitya and vibhu. That's two.
That's all?
Okay. I think now we're moving on to the third.
Okay.
It is also described how his form is internal. Okay, what do we mean by internal? Let's read on. Well, there's a verse spoken by 1064:26. Okay, let's not say, let's wait and see who says this. But it said, the prayer is, Satvam katam mama vibhoksha patak paratma yogeshwarai shruti dishamala rid vibhavyaha sakshad adhoksaja uru vyasananda buddhe siyanme nudrishya ihayasya bhavapavargaha. Almighty One, how is it that my eyes see you here before me? You are the Supreme Soul, whom the great masters of mystic yoga can meditate upon within their pure hearts only by employing the spiritual eyes of the Vedas. Okay, that sounds inward. You can only be the yogi, or at least the mystic yogis can only find you inside by using the spiritual eye of the Vedas, the eye that points inward. Then how are you, the transcendental Lord, visible directly to me, since my intelligence has been blinded by the severe tribulations of material life? Only one who has finished his material entanglement in this world should be able to see you. So the Lord is not an external object like other external objects. The devotees, as opposed to the yogis, may see him as if externally, but he's not something that you can just grab with your senses on the outside. He actually is not outside. That, therefore, he's called Pratyagrupa. Okay, the Sridhar Swami comments on this. Tikacha, hey Vibho, Satvam mamakshapata lochara gocharak san katam sakshad patyakshosi ityartaha. O Almighty One, Sridhar Swami is commenting, how can you be here in the path of my eyes, present before my eyes? Akshapata, or like in the prayer to Jagannath, Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Patagami, please be going in the path of my eyes. That means present before my eyes, visible right in front of me. Or in other words, how can you be an object of my sensory perception? That's the point. Not really whether he's inside or outside, but whether your senses can capture him or not. Kimas atrascharyam? Question? In response to that, I guess the Lord asks, what is so wonderful about this? That you see me in front of yourself. So what? You see me, I see you. That's a common experience. Someone's in front of you, you see him. What's the big deal? Tadaha para atma ata eva yogeshwaraya api shruti disha upanishad chakshusha amale hridi vibhavyas chintya. Who's praying? We don't know. He answers. I say he, but I haven't identified who he is. I know it's an answer, but we haven't been told it yet. Well, let's just wait. Let's keep it a mystery. He answers, you are the Supreme Self, and therefore even great masters of yoga can only conjure, think about you in their uncontaminated hearts by the seeing power of Vedic scripture, the eyes of the Upanishads. Okay, why? Yato adhoksaja. Akshajam aindriyakam gyanam tad aduk arvag eva yasmat saha adhoksaja. This is because you are adhoksaja, the one relative to whom knowledge which is akshaja, born from the senses or empirical, is lower, inferior. That actually means inadequate. You can be discerned by one... I didn't read Sanskrit. Yasya hi bhava pavargo bhavet, tasya bhavan anudrishyak syat. You can be discerned by one for whom material life has ceased. Uruvyasanena krikalasa bhava dukkena andabhudes tu mama eta chitram ityartaha ityesha. But this is most amazing. The implied idea is, not said but implied, this is most amazing for me, whose intelligence is blinded by terrible distress, namely the misery of life as a lizard. This is spoken by what's his name? Nriga King, who became a lizard. That's his prayer. Commentary. In ordinary life, sight and the other senses perceive only external objects. You can see, your eyes are here. You see everything in front of you. You don't see what's behind the eyes. You don't see your brain or the bones behind it. You don't see, because the eyes only facing the retina, the iris, the whole, is only pointing outside. The Supreme Soul, however, does not submit to normal sensory purview. He can be seen by exceptional vision, Although he has a form with qualities, that form is pratyagrupa, perceivable only inwardly. Not only is his form pratyagrupa, so also are the forms of the individual finite souls and of their subtle organs of mind, intelligence, and ego. Any living person can recognize by simple introspection his own subtle faculties. He can understand, this is me, and these are my thoughts. Any person should be able to realize that much. The purified mind of an adept yogi can see more subtly the active... Now beyond that, that's ordinary person. Even an animal can perceive that much. But an expert yogi can see more subtly the actual forms of mind, intelligence, space, and time. He can see them. But because an ordinary mind cannot see him, and a pure devotee of the Supreme Soul is graced by him with the ability to see him within. Better than a yogi. Yogi namapi sarvesha madgatain antaratmana. So, the best of all yogis is the devotee who can perceive the Lord with his antaratma, his inner sense, his mind. But because an ordinary mind cannot see him, he is called adhokshaja, beyond the scope of external perception. The verse under discussion was spoken by King Nriga, who for an innocent mistake in executing an act of charity was cursed to become a lizard. After some time he was delivered by Krishna and offered him this prayer. Nriga, he didn't complain to Krishna. Why did you let me become a lizard? He humbly offered a prayer. He humbly submitted that his judgment had become blinded as the reaction of his misdeeds. But actually everyone in material existence, not just animals, suffers from blinded intelligence. There are only relative degrees of blindness. Human beings are less blind than the animals, but they're all blind. Darshana karanam tuknam narayan adhyatme. Okay. The cause of this vision, moreover, this inner vision of the Lord, is described in the Narayana Adhyatma. Any idea what this Narayana Adhyatma is? No? Okay. Jiva Goswami quotes it a few times. Oh, okay. Narayana Adhyatma says, Nitya vyakto pi bhagavan ikshyate nija shaktitaha tamrite paramatmanam kakpashyet amritam prabhum. Although the personality of Godhead is always unmanifest, he can be seen by his energy. Who can perceive the Supreme Soul, the immortal Lord of all, without her help, the help of his energy? Okay, that's how you get this inner vision, with the help of the Lord's inner energy. And it is nothing, that's why we chant Hare Krishna. We appeal to the energy first. And it is nothing other than his mercy that causes this energy to act. Tadrisha shaktir upyulase tat kripaiva karanam. Taruktam shrutau. This is as stated in the Shruti. Various statements. Actually, it's one statement that's found in three Upanishads. No, one statement is found in the Mundaka Upanishad. Sorry. Nachakshusha pashyati rupamasya. And also, yam esha evaisha vinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vivinute tanum swam. That second statement is in the Mundaka Upanishad. The first statement, I don't know where it comes from. But the first statement is, such is stated in various Shrutis, including the texts, one cannot see his form with the eyes. And also the statement, he is obtainable by one whom he chooses. To that person, the Supreme Soul reveals his personal form. And Nasandrishe tishchati rupamasya ityadikam chakutrachit. Instead of nachakshucha pashati, some places it says nasandrishe tishchati rupamasya. Found in some other texts is the wording, his form does not present itself to the public view. Okay, that sandrishe tishchati rupam is... How do I... Okay. That is... That statement, that second version, instead of nachakshusha pashati, nasandrishe tishyati, is found in three different Upanishads. Katha Upanishad, Shvetashvata Upanishad, and Mahanarayana Upanishad. Commentary. According to the scientific definition of energy, the word means potential to act. The Supreme Lord's shaktis, spiritual and material, are potencies, sometimes active and sometimes not. When the Lord feels compassion towards someone, his mercy potency responds by arranging to benefit the favored soul, usually through the intercession of devotees of his acting as spiritual masters. In the words used here, this is the ulasa, or the awakening of the Lord's kripa shakti. The Lord feels constrained from indiscriminately expressing his compassion without intermediate agents, because that would belie his intention to not interfere with the finite soul's autonomy. Lord prefers, and he makes a vow, not to interfere with our material ambitions and to force us to surrender. So what he does is send representatives to convince us to surrender. But he doesn't intercede directly. Then there's that statement, Nasandrishe tishchati rupamasya. Here it's cited two verses. Nasandrishe tishchati rupamasya Nachakshusha pashati kaschanainam vidha manisha manasabi klipto yadetad vidur amritaste bhavanti. His form does not present itself to the public view. No one can simply see him with his eyes. He is accessible only to the heart, intelligence, and mind. Those who understand this will become immortal. Nayam atma pavachanena labhyo namedaya nabahuna shutena yamai vaisha vinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vivinute tanum swam. This self cannot be obtained by discourses, nor by brain power, nor by hearing many scriptures. He can be obtained by the person whom he chooses. To that person he reveals his personal form. Okay, 45.3. Evameva, okay, on this, just more evidence for the same point, that the Lord has to be seen within, and that inner vision is obtainable by the Lord's energies, by his mercy acting through his energies to reveal him. Evam eva moksha dharme narayaniye naradam prati shri shweta dvipa patinoktam. Similarly, the divine Lord of Shweta Dvipa says to Narada in the Narayaniya section of the Moksha Dharma, etat tvayan vigyayam rupavan iti drishyate ichan muhurtan nashyayam ishoham jagato guruhu. You should not think it is because I have a physical form that I am visible. If I desire, I can eliminate myself in a single moment. After all, I am the Supreme Lord and spiritual master of all the worlds. Maya hiesha maya shrishta yanmam pashyasi narada sarva bhuta ganayar yuktam naivam tvam gyatum arhasi. You see me now, Narada, assuming all the qualities of material creation. But this is actually an illusion produced by me. You should not think that this is real. Okay, that doesn't mean that my form is not real. But you're thinking that my form is another product of Maya. That's unreal. Your perception is unreal. Comments on this by Jiva Goswami? Yatanyo rupavan iti hetur drishyate tatayam apiti eta tvaya nagyayam. You should not think that he is visible for the same reason that others are visible, namely that they have a form. Tatascha swasya rupitvaipi adrishyatvam uktava nijarupasya prakritatvam eva darshitam. In this way, by the Lord's saying that he remains imperceptible, even though he has a personal form, he points out that his form is non-material. Tadarshane cha parama kripa mai akunta mame chaiva karanam ityaha itchan iti. And the only cause for his form becoming visible is his irrepressible desire, motivated by his extreme compassion. This he states in the words beginning ich chun. Nashyayam adrishatam apadyayam. I can eliminate myself. What does that mean? Means I can make myself invisible. Tatra swatantriyam jagad vilakshanam vilakshanatvam chahetumaha isha ityadi. The Lord continues in the words beginning isha, ishoham, what is it? Isho Ham Jagato Guruhu. In those words, he continues to present as reasons for his independence and his being different. Being different from the created world. I think the four there is wrong. I think that those are the reasons, that he's independent and he's different from the created world. Yeah. Let me take out the word four. I'll read it again. He's giving his reasons why he can make himself invisible, that he's independent and he's different from the created world. Tatabhi mam sarva bhuta ganayar yuktam yat pashyasi tad yukta twena yat pratyeshi esha maya mayaiva srishta mama maya yaiva tata banam ityartaha. But that you see me joined by all the qualities of the created elements, that you see me, you perceive me as connected with the elements of nature, is simply the maya which I have produced. He makes an illusion that he seems to be connected to the material world. Tasmat naivam ityadi mayatra pratarana shakti syat kripa dambyur maya iti vishwa prakashaha. Therefore he speaks the last words, beginning, you should not think. In this context, maya is the energy of delusion. According to the definition of the Vishwa Prakasha, maya means mercy and deceit. So maya here means illusory energy. This is an illusion that I seem to be actually in contact with the material energy. Commentary, what the Lord of Shvetadrip said to Narada might be misunderstood. Impersonalists might read it as a confirmation of their belief that the Supreme has no form, but emanates the illusion of one to accommodate sentimental devotees. Thus, Srila Rupa Goswami in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita has cited these two same verses of the Moksha Dharma that we quoted here to support the argument of an impersonalist contender. Oh, okay. So the impersonalist tries to make an argument using these two verses. Yeah. Nanvara rupa svatat krishno drishyo mayika rupata. But someone may propose, Krishna is innately formless. He becomes visible by assuming illusory forms. And then the Purvapakshi, the impersonalist, quotes these two verses that we just quoted. That this is my maya, that you seem to see me in front of you. In his gloss on these verses, here, in the Sandarbha, Srila Jiva indicates the correct understanding of nashyeyam. I can eliminate myself. The Supreme Lord reserves the right not to show himself to those who are not devoted to him. Only those most highly qualified in spiritual discipline can see him as a person. In grandsire Bhishma's departing instructions to Yudhishthira, in the Shanti Parva of the Mahabharata, the Moksha Dharma is the section where he teaches the principles of liberation. In the course of the long discourse, Bhishma relates the histories of Upachara Vasu's realization of the Supreme Lord and of Narada's seeing the Lord in his abode Shvetadvipa in the ocean of milk. Uparichara Vasu was a favorite disciple of the sage Brihaspati and once performed an Ashwamedha sacrifice with Brihaspati as the Hota priest. After some controversy among the sages and demigods of the universe over the question of nonviolence in the performance of a sacrifice, Upachara decided to substitute cakes made of grains for the sacrificial animals. Lord Vishnu was so pleased by this considerate decision and by Upachara's devoted performance of the sacrifice that he appeared before the Vasu, but not before anyone else present. Brihaspati lost his temper, beating the offering ladle on the ground and demanding to be told why he was not allowed to also see the Lord. Among the many sages attending the sacrifice, only the three brothers, Ekita, Dwita, and Trita, could answer Brihaspati. They told Brihaspati that many great sages in the past endeavored without success to see the Supreme Lord who resides on Shwetadweep. The three themselves had traveled all the way to Shwetadweep, but had been blinded by the brilliance of the atmosphere there and could not see anything of the Lord. So the three who were speaking, they say, we tried to see him and we couldn't. Only one candidate in this attempt, Narada, to see the Supreme Lord at Shwetadweep, only Narada has ever succeeded. The master of Shwetadweep, Lord Kshiradakshai Vishnu, greeted Narada as his best friend and was pleased to reveal to him a special vision of his universal form. The artificial form of the universe as God's body, however, is actually meant to be seen by those who are less advanced in devotional discipline. Narada is fit to see the personality of Godhead in his ultimate identity, the son of the king of cowherds in Vraja. And Lord Vishnu reminded him of this by saying, Naivam tvam gyatam arhasi. You see this form now with your eyes, but your intelligence should not take it literally as my real self. That's a paraphrase of that section of the Moksha Dharma that this verse is found at the end of. Okay. We have a little more, but we'll do that tomorrow. Okay. Today, I'm going to have to postpone the Kavya class till tomorrow. Is that okay? I'm getting to the end of the chapter is a very difficult section. I can hardly understand it. I can't understand it right now, so I need another day to prepare. All right. So tomorrow we'll have coffee class. Okay. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Announcements.